Okay, our next speaker is John Harica, General Engineer, Pittsburgh Mining Research Division for NIOSH, the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health. John's a mining engineer and a certified mine safety professional. He began his career in the mining industry working with Freeport's Mine Technology Group in Southern Arizona, and later became a consultant developing computer-based training programs for mines across various commodities. John has a keen interest in applying new technology to mine work environment, as well as develop interventions to improve mine worker safety and health. He joined NIOSH in 2016 and is currently a member of the Mining System Safety Branch in the Pittsburgh Mining Research Division. How about a warm welcome for John? Thank you for the introduction. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is John Ricca, and I am with the Pittsburgh Mining Research Division of NIOSH. In case you're not familiar with NIOSH, NIOSH is a federally funded public health institute that is focused on eliminating injuries, illnesses, and fatalities in the workplace. We are housed under the Department of Health and Human Services, and we are part of the CDC. And today I'm here to provide you with some preliminary results we have from a project that we have been conducting related to haul truck safety in the mining sector. So why are we focused on haul trucks? The main reason is that haul truck fatal accidents continue to be a significant health and safety concern in the mining industry. Powered haulage and mobile equipment account for many fatal accidents each year. In fact, in any given year, it often accounts for greater than 50% of the fatal accidents. If you're knowledgeable of accident statistics, you might know that powered haulage is a classification that includes more than just haul trucks, but if you dig in deeper to the numbers, it's really haul trucks that are the largest contributor. And that might not be too surprising because it's estimated that haul trucks account for 45% of the equipment out there, so it's a very prevalent piece of equipment. I would be remiss if I did not mention that we are not the only government agency looking into the issue of haul truck safety. The Mine Safety and Health Administration, which is the regulatory agency over the mining sector in the U.S., is also looking into the issue. They identified powered haulage as a special safety initiative in 2018. With that initiative, they offered additional technical assistance and awareness campaigns to the industry. They came out with some new guidance and training that's available on their website. In 2001, they held a stand down for Safety Day for powered haulage. In an associated press release for that event, they said that injuries and fatalities related to powered haulage were at their highest levels since 2006. So it's an issue that continues to persist, and it's an issue that's of great interest to many people in the industry, particularly on the safety side. MSHA is also proposing to strengthen their regulations related to haul trucks. They're proposing a new rule that would require to have a written safety program in place. Getting back to NIOSH, we were also looking into this issue. This slide shows an overview of the project at a very high level. We started the project out with some industry engagement. We went out and talked to mine operators and asked them what their main concerns were regarding haul truck safety. From that initial industry outreach, we generated a research roadmap, which kind of guided our focus areas and direction for the rest of the project. Our additional focus areas were doing a fatal accident analysis, conducting mine worker interviews, developing training materials, conducting a technology readiness assessment, and also building our capacity for virtual reality for incident analyses and development of training materials. This presentation is primarily going to focus on the mine worker interview piece of this project, but towards the end of the presentation I'll show you an example of a training video that we are developing as an output of this project. So the purpose of these mine worker interviews was to try and get a better understanding of how haul truck operators respond to challenging or non-routine situations. So these are things like near misses or minor accidents involving equipment damage. And the idea was to gain a greater depth of understanding about these situations and see what we could learn from them. So these interviews, they used a strategy called the Critical Decision Method, or CDM for short. In general, the CDM is a retrospective interview strategy. It allows researchers to elicit information about actual incidents that occurred. So in other words, what better way to find out about an incident than to actually go out and talk to people who have actually experienced these events themselves. So the CDM, it's been used in many different domains. It's been used in the military, it's been used in aviation, the automotive industry, and on first responders such as ambulance drivers. And for this study, when we talked to haul truck operators, we asked them to recall a specific incident in which they were directly involved that was particularly challenging, or when their knowledge or skills played a role in the outcome of the incident. And by exploring these situations, our hope was to document specific details, challenges, perceptions, subtle cues that might not be uncovered using other types of methods. So what we wanted to come up with was a list of lessons learned, rules of thumbs, mental strategies, and other types of things that would be useful in preventing these types of incidents from occurring again in the future. Our study included 11 mine sites across the country, various commodities, including surface coal, surface stone, sand and gravel, and surface metal. Our participants included 21 haul truck operators. Average experience in the mining industry was 20 years. Average experience operating on a haul truck was 15 years, so it was a relatively experienced group of haul truck operators. This slide outlines the four basic steps of a CDM interview. First, the participants were asked to recall an incident, and in particular, we were looking for challenging events that go beyond the routine and everyday procedural knowledge that they have. Our hope was to uncover any sort of skills or expertise that they may have that played a role in the outcome of these events. So once an incident was identified, we asked the participant to describe the incident as a series of decision points on a timeline. Once we had the decision points, we did a deep dive into each decision point. So in other words, we wanted to find out, what did they know at that time? When did they know it? How did they know it? And then lastly, we had a series of what-if questions to help determine what could have gone better in the situation, or how could the situation have been prevented, or what a novice person needs to know to avoid the situation or successfully navigate it. This slide is a sort of a busy slide, but it's really sort of intended to give you an overview of what one of our timelines looks like. In the blue black boxes, we have our decision points. In the yellow boxes, we have sensory cues, such as what did you see, hear, smell, so on and so forth. And then also in the red circles, we have actions that the operator took at that point in the time of the incident. And then we also have cognitions or thoughts. What were they thinking at that moment, at that time in the incident? So from each interview, we ended up with these timelines. We also ended up with voice recordings from the haul truck operators and transcriptions, and that was our main data set. So we took that data and we further analyzed it using qualitative methods. And for our data analysis, we adopted a structured approach that was utilized in prior studies. The first step was to review our incident timelines to give us a visual representation of what was happening and when it occurred. The next step was to create an incident summary. The third step was to create a decision analysis table to look at the events leading up to each decision point and what sort of strategies they took around each incident. Step number four was to identify items of interest, and these things could be like goals or sensory cues, perceptions that the haul truck operator had, actions taken, lessons learned, things like that. And then lastly, we compared these items across all of our cases. So this slide shows a summary of the most commonly made decisions or types of decisions made during a non-routine or near-miss event. I won't read through all of these, but I'll just give you An example of the first one is communicate effectively. And the definition of this one is decisions to communicate or to failure to communicate with a coworker in the moment to prevent an incident from occurring. So these definitions include both the positive and negative, i.e., you know, the action was taken or the action was not taken. And if we were to quantify these decisions and plot them on a graph, it would show something like this. Essentially what this is showing is that the most frequent decisions made relate to putting safety first and knowledge of the truck's capabilities. This slide is showing the most frequent decision types across all of our incidents. We can see that safety first, maintain situational awareness, and know your truck were the most common types of decisions made. And so what do I mean by safety first? When we talk to our participants, what we discovered is that a lot of decision-making revolves around safety culture. And we define safety culture as a set of safety-related attitudes, beliefs, and practices shared between supervisors, managers, and an organization. So a good example of this is when haul truck operators talked about decisions such as choosing whether or not to operate a truck that had a known mechanical fault. Or another good example was operators talking about the ability to shut down and stop an operation in icy weather or snowy conditions. Or another good example is choosing to abide by traffic safety rules in the face of production pressure. And in order for haul truck operators to be successful in making the right decisions in these scenarios, it's critical to have a strong and positive safety culture in place. And there's a whole host of research that suggests that better safety culture results in better safety outcomes. Situational awareness was also identified as a critical skill in nearly all of our events. Situational awareness is defined as the ability to perceive elements in their environment, comprehend their meaning, and then project their status into the future. So not only do haul truck operators need to continually assess their work area for hazards, but they also need to make decisions about how to prioritize and manage risks. And finding ways to improve situational awareness could help haul truck operators both identify and manage hazards. So these are things like avoiding complacency, responding to changes in routines, and understanding the big picture. And previous research suggests that formalizing risk management practices could help improve mine workers' situational awareness of hazards. Know your truck was also brought up by our participants. In other words, they wanted to know what the truck was capable of in an emergency type of situation. How is the truck going to respond? How can I ensure that this truck will perform optimally in this type of situation? Overall, our participants stressed that they really wanted more hands-on type of training in order to be able to respond to these type of situations. And so they had suggestions for that, including experiential training. One participant had an idea of cordoning off a section of the mine where they would be allowed to experiment with how the truck would react, like in a slide, for example, things like that. But overall, they wanted more hands-on training to deal with these sort of emergency-type situations. As I mentioned earlier, we're also looking into the use of VR for incident analysis and creation of training videos. And I'm going to share with you next one of these videos. One of the goals for this project is to have a series of near-miss training videos. These are based directly off of the data we collected from the haul truck operators. We're using direct quotes from the operators. The videos are in the first-person narrative, so they're a little bit different than what has been traditionally put out there in terms of safety videos. And the next slide should be the video. I hope it plays for you.
MSHA tracks accidents, injuries, and fatalities across the mining industry. But what about all those close calls that go unreported? A near miss is one bad thing away from being another statistic. There are hundreds of accidents and thousands of near misses for every fatality. This video series draws from actual near misses shared by haul truck operators across the country.
You really have to pay attention, even to the little things. Sometimes, it's the little things that can get you into big trouble. It was a nice day, and I was driving my new truck. I've been driving that truck for a few weeks, and everything seemed to be working well. Except the passenger door seemed kind of loose, but I didn't think anything of it. It was a new truck, after all. I was just driving along on the left side, coming back from the dump. We follow left-hand traffic at our mine, so we can see the high wall better. There wasn't any other traffic nearby, and the road is in pretty good shape, but there must have been a rough spot. There was enough of a bump to pop that door right open. I just reacted. I didn't want the door to slam open and break. I must have pulled a bit on the steering wheel when I leaned over and veered the truck to the left, because I ran right up onto the berm. When I felt the truck start to tip, I slammed on the brakes. When I looked down, there was nothing but air under me. It was close. After I stopped, I felt like I was hanging over the edge. I didn't dare try to go forward because I was worried the berm might collapse, and that would definitely be worse. I just backed up onto the road and kept going with my route. Should have got that door fixed sooner. You really have to pay attention. Those little things, they can add up.
This time, the driver was able to drive away. But next time, he may not be so lucky. Small hazards can have big consequences. It is important to have good housekeeping practices, maintain your roads, don't let yourself get distracted while driving, and don't let mistakes repeat themselves. Operators and management should work together to get problems fixed as soon as possible. Remember, it's best practice to...
Okay, so that kind of gives you an idea of the types of videos that we are creating and intending to publish to the industry. But in terms of lessons learned, as safety researchers, we are learning a lot about these types of incidents. For example, in the video you just saw, if that indeed were a fatal event, the fatal accident report probably would have said something like the operator fell asleep at the wheel. We never would have known that it was the haul truck door and the faulty latch that popped open that caused this operator to drive over the edge. So we're learning a whole lot of new details about these type of incidences that we would have not have otherwise known about. And in turn, we're learning about strategies that may be useful in preventing these types of incidents from occurring again in the future. So that's my presentation, and I will be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, John. Do you have any questions? So where are we going to go from here? What's the future hold?
Well, that's a good question. You know, through this research, we developed a roadmap that could point us in a few different directions. But overall, you know, we look towards the accident statistics and industry to sort of guide our next directions. But certainly, we're also looking into things like collision avoidance systems for haul trucks. We're looking at developing sort of some guidelines on how operators can pick and choose their collision avoidance systems. We're also looking into the situational awareness piece, which is, you know, I think as someone before said that, you know, attention is finite, operator attention. If you put all these tools and pieces together inside of a cab, they only have time to look at, they have to split their time between these different technologies and so on and so forth. So that could be a future direction as well.
Any other questions? Was there any big differences between, say, the coal crowd, the metal crowd, or the aggregates crowd, or was it all very similar?
It was all very similar. It was kind of the same sort of story over and over again. You know, off the top of my head, I can't really say that there are any significant differences between the commodities.
Okay. Thank you. There is a proposed rulemaking with MSHA, and nobody knows for sure when they're going to take action on it about the safety plan that U.S. Mine operators are going to have to implement, but people think it'll be like July or August or something like that. But I would encourage you, if you're not aware of this, to go look at the proposed rulemaking and look at some of the comments that have been made about the rulemaking. It's really informative, so, and it'll probably help you prepare your mine plans. Anyway.